warning that allowing Julian Assange to be extradited to the US would put him at great risk and sends a chilling message to journalists the world over. If the extradition proceeds, Amnesty International is extremely concerned that Assange faces a high risk of prolonged solitary confinement, which would violate the prohibition on torture or other ill treatment, Calimert said in a statement, adding, "Diplomatic assurances provided by the US that Assange will not be kept in solitary confinement cannot be taken on face value given previous history." Calimert added, "We call on the UK to refrain from extraditing Julian Assange, for the US to drop the charges, and for Assange to be freed." Stella Assange, the WikiLeaks founder's wife, warned recently that the UK government has approved sending Julian Assange to the country that plotted his assassination, referring to reports that the CIA, then under the leadership of Mike Pompeo, considered kidnapping or killing the journalist who published classified information that exposed US war crimes. In a statement responding to Petal's decision, WikiLeaks said that this is a dark day for press freedom and for British democracy. Anyone in this country who cares about freedom of expression should be deeply ashamed. The organization continued, "Julian did nothing wrong. He has committed no crime and is not a criminal. He is a journalist and a publisher, and he is being punished for doing his job." WikiLeaks added, "Today is not the end of the fight. It is only the beginning of a new legal battle. We will appeal through the legal system. The next appeal will be before the High Court. We will fight louder and harder on the streets. We will organize, and we will make Julian's story be known to all." If found guilty of all 17 Espionage Act charges, which were originally brought by the Trump administration, Assange could face a 175-year prison sentence, which the US has said he could serve in his native Australia. A British judge had previously rejected US attempts to secure Assange extradition on the grounds that the country's prison system is so brutal that it would endanger the journalist's life. The Biden administration has continued pursuing the charges against Assange, despite vocal warnings and pushback from human rights and press freedom groups.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents
Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. Well, this is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Viewpoint, and here I am your host. This is Asma. And I'm very pleased to have two very dear guests, Brother Ali and Sheikh Ruhullah. Well, utopia, utopia, utopia. Everybody talks about it. Everyone has an imaginary place in their mind in which everything is just so pitchy and perfect and there is no error and everybody is an angel. Does such a place really exist?
Yeah. Should we start with that? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. To reach to this answer, it actually requires some introduction and introductory steps to go to say that such a thing exists or does not exist. But we can talk about that. We can talk about this issue that it was among the important issues and concerns of human being from the, let's say,
ancient ages.
From ancient ages, from the, let's say, scholars of the Greeks till today, and it has been in their works and literature, and it has been seen. But we are all hoping to reach to such a, let's say, utopian government and utopian city.
I think it would never happen in this life.
Hopefully it will happen based on what we have been told and based on our Islamic worldview. It will happen at the time of the last Imam Mahdi.
Of course.
It is the time that this utopia is going to materialize and show itself and get manifested. But all in all, it was actually a sort of, let's say, discussion and controversy among the scholars and ordinary people to say that such an environment, will happen or exist or existed or will exist. So it was, again, the topic of discussions in the treatise of Plato.
Plato's Utopia.
In his Republic.
Mm-hmm.
And later on with
in which
Islamic,
he excludes the poets because they have emotions and they will destroy the state.
True. And even later in the works of Islamic philosophers like Farabi and others, and also in Western philosophers, in modern and even old philosophers of the world
Moore,
of
West,
like Augustine, like Thomas
Moore,
like others, in their works actually they mention in Nowhere Land of Thomas, and also in the City of God of Augustine, I think, if I'm not mistaken. So they all actually discussed and talked about it.
Yes.
So it means that it was important for them, for the human being, to know that such a thing exists or does not exist.
There's a dilemma for people who long.
So what are the characteristics of that, and how is this utopia is going to be defined in our worldview and in theirs, and how was it defined in the early world and in the beginning of the history, and how is it now actually got perfected? Now, these are the issues that we need to discuss it today, and I think it's good to look at this topic from different dimensions.
Yes, that is very true.
Yeah.
Thank
from
you for
an Islamic
the introduction.
Non-Islamic dimension, from an Islamic and non-Islamic point of view.
Yes, thank you for that introduction. Now, Sheikh Ruhullah, can you please tell me the characteristics of utopia?
You know, utopia is a kind
and,
of...
And, sorry, just a question.
Yes.
Does it differ from an Islamic point of view or non-Islamic point of view?
You see, of course, why not? You know, utopia is a kind of imaginary sort of perfect environment or place or a society or country where you suffer from less kind of troubles, problems, and challenges.
It is filled with justice.
It is filled with justice, with prosperity, with kind of, you enjoy a kind of peaceful life, safe kind of life. Safety is there, security is there, peace is there, yeah?
Yes.
So this sort of country or this sort of place, if you could find in this world, that would be a kind of utopia. But I think... as once you rightly mentioned that it might not exist in this world, You know why? If utopia is a kind of ideal sort of place where you think there would be no suffering, no kind of problem, no challenges,
then that would be heaven.
That would be heaven, exactly. In this limited material and physical world, it will never happen.
In which there is always a tyrant.
Yeah. Utopia could be a kind of place that the number or the amount of suffering is less than the other places.
That is the point.
It's kind of relative sort of concept, we can say.
Everyone tries to be
tries his best or her best to achieve those, let's say, achievements or pleasures.
Criteria.
Yeah. But the problem is that in we as human being, existentially and naturally, we are in pursuit of kind of unlimited sort of pleasures, wealth, power, knowledge, life, existence. But it cannot be achievable in this material world. That is why we cannot achieve that sort of utopia where everything will be good, perfect, and everything will be, for example, ideal for you. No, it will never happen. That is why if such a place could be found, it is absolutely the heaven.
Yes.
Where no
the other world in which God rules.
Yeah. So, yeah, but if we define utopia as a kind of place that the problems, we do not have zero problem, we have problems, but it's less than the other kind of societies.
The problems are weakened.
Weakened, yeah, or we can say less amount of sort of challenges and problems. This sort of things could be possible.
So an imaginary place in which there is justice, less poverty, less pain, and dilemmas are prone to be solved.
Yeah, that's it.
So now we talked about the Savior. We said that about the promised Imam, ajalallah farajah, when he comes to this world, we could have, like we call it, a tutorial upon that utopia. How would it be?
Actually, the utopia that is defined in an Islamic worldview has some features and characteristics. So those characteristics are going to be seen and touched at the time of the reappearance and advent of the last Imam, that is Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. So what are those characteristics? One of the first characteristics of such a, let's say, ideal society is establishment of justice. Because based on Quranic teachings, all the prophets and all the imams, all in the course of history, they came just to set up justice for the humanity, for the human being.
Yes.
To actually practice and experience justice. And we are expecting, based on even the hadith, that he will come and will make the world full of justice. So justice is very beautiful for people, and very actually, it's
the most important thing.
The most important thing for every single person on the scene of the earth. You see, so if you ask every person on the scene of the earth, what is your first and immediate need in this world? It would be justice.
Exactly.
And we said that again. It was a message, and it was a mission for the prophets and imams to come and establish justice.
So to
this is
that
one
mission.
Of the characteristics of this ideal society that, inshallah, will happen with the advent of Imam. The next, actually, a characteristic of such a society is human dignity. Human dignity, and also the realization of the revival of religious values. It has been said, look, whatever we are suffering from is that our rights are violated and our dignity is violated in different parts of the world. You might hear such
especially
a voice.
Especially in this modern world that we're living.
This voice can be heard everywhere and anytime.
Yes.
So one of the, let's say, outstanding characteristics of that ideal society is human dignity. And we see that in a society that human dignity is violated, you cannot be safe from the, let's say, restlessness of the society.
Very true.
Whoever is living there.
And so, I guess dignity is the most important thing a person has.
Definitely. So justice, dignity, and revival of religious values. Because what do we see in religious values? all the this is what religion tells us. The prophets came to set up justice, and then to give this dignity to the people, to the believers, to request it from the oppressors of the time and era, to say, okay, this is his right to be living with self-esteem. So these are among the characteristics of an ideal society. The next that actually is of important value is security of people. When there is no security, nothing can happen. Look, there are some elements that brings insecurity to people. One is actually our sins bring insecurity to ourselves. If you want to actually even draw a painting, mm-hmm. you need a quiet and, let's say, quiet place to do your painting. You cannot do your painting while you are, for example, in a boat and this boat is going up and down in a yes. river or in a sea.
Rush situation, situation.
You need security to do your painting. So without you, without security, you can do nothing. Even this worship of you without security cannot.
That mental security, you mean?
So in that ideal society, we are going to be sensing the security that comes in its full sense. Not security, just to be secure from the side of, let's say, family or society and every aspect of security, economic security.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Military security, exactly. In different aspects of it, it's important, you see. So without security, such a society will not never happen and actually show itself. And inshallah, hopefully, Imam will come, and as we said, and based on the hadith, that he will actually make the whole world secure for all the people. Everyone from every part of the world can travel and transfer from one part to the other part,
yes.
without any tiny problem.
And just to add to the points that you mentioned, I guess the minority who are being oppressed right now are going to turn into the majority who are going to rule the world.
True.
So now, Sheikh Ruhullah, I would ask you, everybody talks about utopia, and we believe that the promised Imam, Ajal Allah Farajah, would come, and that utopia would emerge in some levels. But then, how to achieve that utopia? As citizens of utopia, do we have any responsibilities? Can we help that utopia to be created?
Of course, as much as we could, we have to play our own role. We have to fulfill our responsibilities in regards with the reappearance of Imam Mahdi. May Allah hasten his reappearance, inshallah. So I think that utopia, if it would be established by the Imam, it needs a certain type of, let's say, tools, equipments, and means by which a specific sort of knowledge, specific sort of power that Imam should have, that Imam should has to establish that kind of system, an ideal sort of political system, economic system, social system.
And the most important part of those tools is human beings, the people who are
of course,
living
yeah,
in that
yeah.
society.
The people should support, the people should help.
Thank you. It was such a nice session. I enjoyed it a lot. We talked about utopia, and inshallah, in immediate future, we would see a day in which the promised Imam would come and reappear. Inshallah. And in that society ruled by him, there would be justice flourishing everywhere, and there would be no poverty, and all the great ideals of Islamic world would be fulfilled. Thank you for listening.
The same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. You are guides me through my darkest night, shows me right from wrong in a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone, anything in life but you.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and if you're ready, here is an advice worth pondering upon from Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Reza, peace be upon him. Avoid the curse of the oppressed, since they seek adjudication from Allah, and He will never let them down and deny them their rights.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
Yeah,
About a dozen penguins have been returned home after being given a second chance at life following their rehab in Argentina. The birds were rescued in the province of Buenos Aires and were transported to the Mundo Marino Foundation for evaluation. The Magellanic penguins were treated for malnutrition, dehydration and parasites. The foundation's director says these pathologies are usually caused by climate change, food scarcity and environmental pollution. Vets say they are seeing more and more of these sorts of rescues. The bears were nursed back to health in one of the foundation's facilities in the town of San Clemente del Tuyo. They were later released back to their habitat in southern Chile. People in Poland have rolled out flower carpets for the feast of Corpus Christi held in the central village of Spiszemierz. Families usually arrange colorful and symbolic carpets for the procession on the road section in front of their homes. They use flowers picked from the surrounding fields or their own gardens. They also use soil, sand and fresh cut grass. The procession begins from the church and roams the streets of the village. The flower carpets have been rolled out annually since the tradition started 200 years ago, except for once when a storm broke out.
This tradition is 200 years old, and according to what the village elders say, it has only happened once that there was no carpet of flowers for the procession, because a storm broke out and swept everything away in the afternoon.
Families begin collecting the flowers a few days before the feast and arrange it on the celebration day. Besides its religious aspect, the event is also meant to express appreciation for nature. The practice has been passed from generation to generation ever since it began. The tradition was registered at UNESCO's cultural heritage list last year.
Artists have turned a historic village in the Tunisian island of Djerba into a vibrant open-air art museum. The organizer of the project says he has always had a clear vision for the gallery.
The goal of this project is to create a new way of displaying urban art, to create a museum, a real museum, which labels for the works with a certain lighting, certain works and staging. Also to create a dynamic to give this museum to the residents so that they could appropriate it and it almost becomes their business.
The project is called Djerbehud and it's located in a town of Eriyadh. Since 2014, about 150 artists from 35 different nations have gathered there to produce eye-catching street art. Tourists say they enjoy visiting the gallery because they can see something new every time they come round. Residents of the town are also content with the vibrant looks of their streets, saying the artwork give a little movement to their everyday lives. Japanese engineers have invented a four-legged robot that can easily move across rough terrain while carrying heavy loads. Japan's Kawasaki Heavy Industries has developed a quadrupled robot, believing it can help with labor shortage in the country's aging society. Dubbed Bex after the wild goat species Ibex, the robot features large curved horns. It can walk over rough terrain or move faster on smoother surfaces using wheels tucked in its underbelly. Bex was designed to perform tasks and carry humans in agricultural settings, thereby answering a labor crunch in rural Japan.
Five young and rare Bonelli's eagles born on a breeding farm in France are taking a journey to Spain where they will be released into the wild. These eaglets were born in captivity, which is a rare feat for this endangered species. Three of the five are ready to be released and have been fitted with GPS microchips for tracking purposes. Their initial release date was delayed because of several weeks of bird flu, which made traveling impossible. The other two eagles are too young to be reintroduced and are still being hand-fed from behind the curtain. They will make the journey sometime in July. The breeders, however, are worried about how to sustain the program as their birds begin to age.
The Bonelli's eagle is a species that is relatively scarce. In France, we must have about 40 couples, something like that, who produce about 20 chicks per year. Here, we have 5 chicks, but my birds are very old. Still, 5 chicks is not nothing for a species which relies on a small reproduction number.
Pacto also says his 5 pairs of eagles are aged between 18 and 30 years, and 3 of them are now too old to breed. He says the number of Bonelli's eagles had dropped dramatically since the 1980s, mainly to electrocution on high-voltage lines. Due to the reintroduction program, the population of these eagles has nearly doubled over the past 2 decades.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Another breakthrough in the world of science. Japanese scientists move one step closer to creating lifelike robots by changing their physical appearance. Researchers at the University of Tokyo have developed living skin on a robotic finger. To that aim, they have submerged the robot's finger into a cylinder filled with a mixture of the natural skin components. The lab-grown skin is water-repellent, has wrinkles, and can heal itself. A member of the research team explains how the innovation will be helpful in the future. Let's take a listen.
As for challenges in the future, since we've only produced a simple skin, we would like to add various sensory organs such as the nervous system and the vascular system. We would like to further improve the function of the skin. Once we complete that, I believe that the skin itself could be used for transplantation, or use the skin as a model to develop cosmetics or drugs, or for leather products that do not require harming the animal, or to cover prosthetic limbs and legs.
The lab-grown skin is much weaker than the natural type. It's unable to survive long without nutrient supply and waste removal. For now, the team plans to address those issues and also include more sophisticated features. They want to add hair follicles, sweat glands, and sensory neurons to the skin. A Belgian company is trying to combat urban waste by transforming used coffee grounds into edible mushrooms that can also be used in construction. The mycelium is grown in a damp cellar in Brussels. Some 5 tons of coffee grounds are collected each month from partner cafes. They are then mixed in drums where the oyster mushroom spores are added and mixed with straw in a sack. The mushrooms emerge from slashes in the sacks 15 days afterwards and are ready to be sent to shops for sales. The business owners say they are looking to expand their business and use coffee and mushrooms as an environmentally friendly alternative to plastic.
Each day we throw away a lot of coffee, and this coffee to be produced needs a lot of energy from the cultivation to the transportation to Europe, and it's just a pity not to use it more than a few minutes to drink a coffee.
The company has already tested out its fungus-based insulating tiles and received its first order of these tiles for soundproofing purposes. Jacket says they hope to produce 12 tons of the mycelium material per month when they gather enough investment. The business owner says there is no shortage of raw material as coffee is widely consumed in Belgium. Jacket says the innovation can dramatically cut down on plastic waste.
China launches 3 astronauts to its Tiangong space station as its construction enters a critical phase. The 3 blasted off from a launch center in northwestern China. They are the second group of astronauts to head to the space station since its construction began in April 2021. They will stay there for 6 months. The space station is planned as a 3-section structure. The core module was launched in April, and 2 more components will be sent into space in July and September. The new mission will oversee the integration of the 3 parts. The crew's commander has described the task as a pivotal battle in the construction of Tiangong, which is planned to be completed by the end of 2022.
Colombia's long hunt for a fabled Spanish ship, San Jose Galleon, that sank centuries ago, comes to an end. But the mission leads to 2 more nearby shipwrecks filled with treasures.
We have found 2 additional ships, one ship that is from the colonial period and another that, from the point of view of preliminary analysis, corresponds to the Republican period of our history. We also have related vessels, around a dozen similar boats, that will be located by our Navy.
The colonial era vessels were found near Colombia's Caribbean port of Cartagena. A remotely operated vehicle reached 900 meters beneath to capture the shipwrecks and treasures inside them. San Jose Galleon sank in a deadly battle against English warships in 1708, taking with it billions in treasure. The Colombian president says the findings will be preserved and protected until extraction is done completely. The riches will then be displayed in museums.
Colombian scientists managed to reproduce an endangered species of frog, bringing it back from the brink of extinction. The scientists were able to reproduce 29 specimens of Lehman's poison frog after years of investigations and experiments using a lab built specifically for this species. They have released the frogs into the Colombian Pacific region with the hope of starting its repopulation.
We observe how the frogs adapt to this ecosystem, which is theirs, but it is a constant monitoring. And the idea is that of these first 29 frogs at the moment, there will be many more little frogs, and now we can tell the world that they are not in danger of extinction.
The scientists, however, warned that this particular species of frog is very difficult to reproduce or maintain under human care. They are also worried about the illegal trade of the frogs, which has already played a key role in pushing the rare species towards extinction. Colombia is home to over 700 frog species, more than any other country in the world except Brazil.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page. Very welcome to today's episode of the program. Today is a special. How to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Jalali wal ikrami ya
Today, Sunday, is the 19th of Zilqa'da, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 29th of Khordad, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 19th of June, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Before starting today's program, we invite you, dear listeners, to listen to the blessed recitation of the Holy Quran, Surah Al-Hajj, Ayah 77.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu rka'u wasjudu wa'budu rabbakum. وَاعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ وَافْعَلُوا الْخَيْرَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ
O you who have believed, bow and prostrate and worship your Lord and do good, that you may succeed.
لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The ritual acts of bowing and prostration are among the examples of worship. Yet, in this holy verse, these two acts are mentioned beside the Quranic words, worship, which indicate, beside the Quranic word, worship, which indicates both the importance of prayer and these two elements of prayer. By the way, divine salvation or prosperity is the last stage of perfection of which we must be hopeful when we have fulfilled our duties of worships and benefactions. This holy ayah addressing the believers states some general and inclusive instructions which protect their religion, worldly affairs and succession in all circumstances.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. Nawwarta darbi, shukran. Shukran ya Rabbi,
shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. Nawwarta darbi, shukran.
Reasons for worship. When man sees the greatness and magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he unconsciously feels humble and weak before him. Just as a person who regards himself insignificant before a distinguished person and scholar also honors and respects him. Man's nature is such that he feels humble before someone upon whom he is dependent. Our very existence depends upon the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we will need him all the time. This feeling of need and deficiency urges man to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for only he is ultimately perfect and independent. It is stated in some ahadith that if there were no death, poverty or sickness, some people would never humble themselves before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa binastain. In this episode, we are going to talk about how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may have at least two stages. One, the verbal stage, and another one is the practical stage. The verbal stage consists of saying and confessing the unicity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and worshipping Him, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in words. For example, in the words, in the form of offering prayers. Practically speaking, I mean, in community, another aspect or another manifestation of Allah, another manifestation of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finds expression in the form of disobeying tyrants, because tyrants stand in opposition to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, one has to remember that there are certain reasons for worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the first place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need our worshipping Him. As asserted in the Holy Quran, if all people in the universe become disbelievers, I mean, people who no longer believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they wouldn't be able to harm even the least Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one of the great inspirations for worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the grandeur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is too great to be perceived, to be conceived, to be imagined. I mean, His grandeur stands, I mean, far beyond our limits of anticipation or finding out.
IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible. All in all, in today's special, IRIB English Radio. Ways to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today's suggestion, zikr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Holy Quran, verily in the remembrance of Allah do hearts find rest. Zikr is doing remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in some forms, expressing the natural state of the heart through recitations and supplications. Start small and try simple zikr of Subhanallah, glory be to Allah, Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, La ilaha illallah, there is no God but Allah, and Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest in every action. This zikr is also known as the everlasting good deeds. Also, according to a narration, the best zikr is to send blessings upon Muhammad and his Ahlul Bayt. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. You may choose a specific favorite zikr of yours to recite while doing your chores, or you can use various zikr found in the Quran and Hadith at different times of the day.
Rabbuna Rabbul Qulubi wa huwa Allamul Ghuyub fi shuruqi wa fil ghurubi nuruhu yahdi al-asa. Rabbuna Rabbul Qulubi wa huwa Allamul Ghuyub fi shuruqi wa fil ghurubi.
Invalid acts of worship. Servitude, obedience, and worship deserve to be done to the Creator alone, and may and any worship of a phenomenon, human being, creature, or any other is invalid. These invalid acts of worship stem more out of ignorance than alienation from the guidance of the prophets. In the glorious Quran, Allah reckons worship of any other than Him invalid, futile, as well as unreasonable. For in seeking assistance from the others, you ask from other than Allah, knowing that all powers belong to Him. However, the Holy Quran states that power altogether belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you are seeking honor, be aware that honor also belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and is at His disposal. As the Holy Quran states,
honor entirely belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you are looking for daily provision and sustenance, be it known that the false deities are not the owners of your sustenance. As such, invalid worship is not only confined to the worship of a stone, wood, the sun, and the moon. The attachment of the heart and soul to any ungodly idea, power, and government is a kind of false worship.
You have certain individuals that they disbelieve in Allah Azza wa Jal. They call themselves atheists, not because there is not enough proof for the existence of Allah. There are certain professors and scientists that they know there is a God, there is a creator, but they choose to disbelieve in God because of the arrogance that they have. I have to submit to an all-powerful being that tells me this is halal, this is haram, do this, do that. No way. Their arrogance, it prevents them from believing in Allah. Many of the atheists of this world, especially the intellectual atheists, the real reason why they're atheists is because of their arrogance. They don't want to submit to an all-powerful being that tells them do this and do that. Their arrogance prevents them from believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you find that Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam, he speaks about this. He says, halakun nasi fi thalath. He says, three qualities will destroy the human being. And one of those qualities that he mentions is arrogance. He says, فَالْكِبَرْ هَلَاكُ الدِّينِ. That because of arrogance, my faith may be destroyed. My religion may be destroyed and wasted. And then he says, وَمِنْهُ لُعِنَ Iblis. Iblis, shaitan. The devil, the shaitan, why was he cursed by Allah and he was kicked out of the heavens? It was because of his arrogance. Allah Azza wa Jal told him and the angels, do sujood to Adam. What did he say? The Quran mentions the story. He says, you created me from fire, and you created Adam from clay, from dust, and fire is better than clay, and I'll never do sujood to someone that is inferior to me. Allah told him, this is arrogance. There is no room for arrogance in Al-Jannah. And he kicked him out of Al-Jannah. So this was his weak spot. This all the mischief that exists in the evil that's from shaitan, it's the root cause was arrogance. All he had to do is one sujood to Adam. But he could not overcome that arrogance. And thus there's a beautiful hadith from Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam that says, مَا مِنْ عَمَلٍ أَشَدْ عَلَىٰ إِبْلِيسِ مِنَ السُّجُودِ. He says, if you really want to aggravate, if you really want to bother and upset the shaitan, do you know what's the best thing to do? Do sujood. Why? The imam says, لِأَنَّهُ أُمِرَ فَعَصَى وَهَذَا أُمِرَ فَأَطَاعَ فَنَجَى. Because sujood is the weak spot of the shaitan. They say everyone has a weak spot. The weak spot of a shaitan is a sujood. That's his Achilles heel. Because this is where he failed the test.
Thank you very much, dear listeners of iRibe English Radio Call of Islam page, for listening to this episode of the program Today's Special. We hope you enjoyed it. For more information on this program and to download for free our previous episodes of this program and other programs of iRibe English Radio, please visit our website at parstoday.com/en Call of Islam page. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanullah.
Crazy, who you praying for? They told me there is nothing, who you looking for? Stop doing what you're doing, 'cause there is no hope.
Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were like, yes, I was mesmerized. But deep inside I know that there's a better world. 'Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.